Welcome to the show. It's Wrestling Uncensored. Vince McMahon has retired from professional wrestling. Let's go. It's weird. John, good evening.
What's up?
Well, like I said, Vince has retired from professional wrestling. Sports entertainment, whatever you want to call the thing that exists today in its current form because of him,
right,
has decided to retire from professional wrestling, announcing it today. And no matter what has happened today with Brock Lesnar and whatever else that we will get to, this is one of the biggest stories in the history of the professional wrestling business. Vince McMahon today from his official Twitter account at 77. Time for me to retire. Thank you, WWE Universe, then, now, forever, together. Hashtag WWE. Hashtag thankful. What else is under the thankful hashtag? Mostly stuff about Vince and this guy. Anyways.
Wasn't there a bigger thing that he wrote? Like, it was a longer paragraph, no? I saw that posted somewhere.
I think that was the internal letter sent to the WWE staff, talent.
Okay.
I found that
very interesting.
We could read the official statement from WWE Corporate. We could read that. You want me to do the Vince impression? I mean, I don't have many more times to do this, right, John? I mean, we're getting here.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be other times. Don't worry. You can always bring it back. You still do Taker, and Taker's retired.
That's right. I'll do the Undertaker forever, beyond the grave.
So here's Vince today. This I'm taking from R-Squared Circle, great Reddit. We all love it. Vince McMahon, as I approach 77 years old, I feel it's time for me to retire as chairman and CEO of WWE. Throughout the years, it's been a privilege to help bring WWE you joy. I'm reading this cold and trying to do the impression at the same time. It's hard. Inspire you, thrill you, surprise you, and always entertain you. I would like to thank my family for mightily contributing to our success. And I would also like to thank all of our past and present superstars and employees for their dedication and passion for our brand. Most importantly, I would like to thank our fans for allowing us into your homes every week and being your choice of entertainment. I hold the deepest appreciation and admiration for our generations of fans all over the world who have liked, currently like, and sometimes even love our form of sports entertainment. I'm going to read this normal because I can't do it anymore. Our global audience can take comfort in knowing WWE will continue to entertain you with the same fervor, dedication, and passion. As always, I'm extremely confident in the continued success of WWE, and I leave our company in the capable hands of an extraordinary group of superstars, employees, and executives. In particular, both chairwoman and co-CEO Stephanie McMahon and co-CEO Nick Khan. As the majority shareholder, I will continue to support WWE in any way I can. My personal thanks to our community and business partners, shareholders, board of directors, their guidance, support through the years, then, now, forever, together. And then, this is a weird one, the one to the talent. I don't know if you saw this.
I saw this one.
As I approach 77 years old, in brackets here, OMG, am I really that old? OMG, Vince? OMG?
He's trying to be hip.
Oh my fuck, am I really that old? Jesus. I feel it's time for me to retire. I've thoroughly enjoyed sharing my passion, wisdom, and love of the business with you. No longer will you see the smiling, docile, level-headed, calm presence at Gorilla every week. Sexual predator. Your dedication to WWE will ensure that our company will continue to grow and prosper. Our organization is nothing without you. You are WWE's only natural resource. Natural resource? It's a weird way to refer to the wrestlers. Chosen to perform in front of a global audience, you are all WWE global ambassadors. I thought that was just Titus O'Neil. Carry the WWE flag wherever you go. Wave it high and proud. And bust your ass to be all you can be as a person and a performer. One other thing, I won't be with you, but I'll be watching. Remember to keep your hands up, grab a hold, and sell. To talent as well.
Well,
keep your hands up, grab a hold, and sell. Grab a hold, too.
Well, holds, you see that quite a bit, actually. The selling. Here and there.
I mean, they're attempting to sell. You might not believe it, but, I mean, they're trying to portray that they're hurt. Right?
Did you watch Almost's match?
Well, he's a giant. He's not supposed to sell, right? Isn't that what they tell him? That's probably what they tell him.
There was something he was trying to do in that match. I don't know what it was. It wasn't selling.
Yeah. Shout out to Doug Hepburn. Shout out to Paul M. Shout out to Big Bob Burgers, Ryan Katz. Everybody joining us here live. I see you guys on the YouTube chat. Thank you for watching us live here tonight. Big show. A lot to get through. A lot to unpack with this whole Vince thing. Who's in charge? Who's running the show? So he was no longer the CEO and chairman. He gave that up to Stephanie a few weeks back when the first allegations came out. I told you he was not going to be sticking around for much longer, that he could not be sticking around after the allegations of Vince paying off talent because of sexual encounters and some things that he maybe coerced the talent into giving him oral sex and then not renewing her contract when she refused to continue these activities. When that happened, I said it was over for Vince. He couldn't be in charge of creative. He couldn't be in charge of anybody's push because, you know, he's obviously abusing that power with the talent. You can't be in a position of power like Vince was as head of creative even and be doing that type of stuff with the talent. So when those allegations came out, the further allegations, I said, it's over for Vince. And it is over for Vince. He retired today.
Well, he still owns
the company. I mean, he still has the majority voting rights on the board, right? He's a majority shareholder. He's got all the stock. He still owns the company. But you can own the company and not be really in charge of the company. He has a say in a way, but he really does seem like he's finally stepping aside. And really, it's about time. Are you not reading this as Vince leaving? Are you reading this as still Vince operating behind the scenes as like a shadow boss of the WWE? Just sitting at home in Connecticut, barking orders at Stephanie and Nick Khan and whoever, Bruce Prichard, Triple H. I mean, he is a majority shareholder, so he does have a lot of sway. Is he still in charge? Is this retirement slash... I mean, he's really been run out of the company because of the terrible things he's been doing. But do you not buy this? Because I'm buying it at this point. Like, the guy's 77 years old. He's been running this show forever. He's got all these allegations coming at him left and right. It seems like it's nowhere near over. These allegations will continue. They might even get worse. So, to me, this is real. He's stepping away. He's given up control. he might have a say, but at the end of it, I think it's kind of unclear who's in control. But I don't think it's Vince anymore. It might be Stephanie. Triple H is now the executive vice president of talent relations again, right? He's running the whole talent relations, took over from John Laurinaitis' job now. He's in a big position.
Yep. But also very interesting that it's not just Stephanie who's the CEO. It's also Nick Khan as well. He could have just made Stephanie the CEO, but he didn't.
Co-CEOs.
I thought that was very telling.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very interesting that that happened. Kind of to be like, if he ever needed to get it back, he has a way to get it back.
By taking it from Nick Khan or from Stephanie?
I think it's just a way of like, you know, he keeps everything in control. Like he has these two people that aren't going to be completely in control. They have to share it in a sense.
Yeah.
And if anything falls apart, well, he can always come back there.
And also, as the majority shareholder for a lot of the big decisions, he's going to be still involved.
Like, right? Vince is very cunning. Vince is super cunning here. Like, the way they portrayed it on television, too, he's like the good guy in all this. Like, he's very smart. And the way that they did that on Raw, at first I was like, what the heck was this crap on Raw that I saw at the start of the show? But now I'm getting it. Like, he's trying to make WWE like this super like great place to be and this wonderful thing that Vince created, and we should all thank Vince for it. Like, he's very smart, like, and he's saving his butt right here.
Is he smart? Because it's see-through. It's so transparent. It's so obvious. When Titus O'Neil comes out to start Raw, you're like, what the hell is this? I'm a goodwill ambassador, and I'm here to represent for the WWE, and what a great place, and aren't we inclusive? Aren't we so nice to all our employees? No one ever gets sexually harassed here.
We didn't say that.
No, but it's basically what he's saying, right? He's trying to say, oh, WWE's this great, awesome place, and we're such good people, and we're here for the community, and we're helping people left and right, and we're really good to all types of people, men, women, whatever. Which is not the case, or hasn't been the case. It's ugly, man. It's real ugly.
Well, the Titus thing is another thing in itself, what he said, and it seemed like it was so obvious for him to say that.
That Titus thing was such bullshit, man. It was such an obvious PR move. And as a wrestling fan, when you're tuning into a wrestling show that's supposed to get you hyped for, you know, 3 hours of this goddamn marathon, and you started out with Titus O'Neil saying, hey, guys, isn't WWE great? Thank you, fans, for being so awesome. And this motherfucker doesn't even do the At least
he
with
did.
The fuck it. Did he?
Yeah, he did.
At the beginning? I must have skipped over.
At the beginning, yeah. Oh, he missed it.
Well, that's all he does good that I want to see. What the hell is that anyways? It's ridiculous. I don't even want to see that bullshit. What the hell is that? No one wants to see that. That's why Titus O'Neil still works for the WWE and hasn't wrestled a match in years. What the hell is Titus O'Neil?
Global ambassador now.
Global ambassador? People be like, we have somebody from WWE. Little kids are like, oh my God, is it Roman Reigns? And they go, Titus O'Neil. Titus O'Neil walks out. Kids are like, who are you? Who are you? We haven't ever seen. You stopped wrestling before we were born. Kids don't give a fuck about Titus O'Neil. When's the last time he actually wrestled on TV in a way that you might remember?
I feel he wrestled in the pandemic, didn't he? Because he remember he tried to join the Hurt Business. I remember that. Hurt Business said no.
For like 2 weeks, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. But that was the last major thing, actually, I think he did in WWE, from what I remember.
Fucking jabroni, who seems like a lovely man, and by all accounts, he's a nice guy and all that shit. But
good
who cares?
PR guy.
Huh?
Clean record.
But who cares? He's super boring. Like, I don't, it's not a good way to start a wrestling show. It is.
It was weird.
It was something I had to watch because it was so weird, but it was obviously a PR thing from WWE being like, let's send Titus. Everybody loves Titus because he's such a good man. Takes care of his children and stuff. I don't know why he's good. I don't know. I really don't. Yeah, I think he's involved in a lot of charities. He seems like a good guy. I don't know, but people seem to like Titus, you know, his peers and such. I've never met the man. He seems gigantic. But I just... It's so transparent. When Stephanie comes out tonight on SmackDown and goes, oh, let's thank my dad. Thank you, Vince. And she, like, looks right in the camera, like, right at Vince. Blah. Fucking
gross. I
actually
thought Stephanie seemed kind of pissed because she wanted to, like, drag that out a bit, but the fans were always saying thank you, Vince, and maybe she got pissed at the fans a little bit for, you know, saying it too early.
Jumping the gun on her shitty promo to thank her father, who's been, you know, groping and coercing women into giving him oral sex. Fucking, I heard Paul London did a shoot interview where he said that Vince was like harassing and trying to get Ashley Massaro on his private jet. Her story ended fucking bad, man. If Ashley Massaro is one of these women that Vince was, you know, messing with, you know, that gets into a real dark territory.
Well, again, we don't know what's going on with the allegations. It's not.
But
done
goddamn,
yet, right?
Man, so. There's stories out there now. Like, people are talking. Vince is retiring. He's not in power anymore. Nobody's scared of him. That's another thing. Nobody's scared.
Well, I'm sure there's still people that want to be in the Hall of Fame, right? It's still a thing for people, so.
Yo.
I'm sure they'll try to still be nice.
Vince not working? Honestly, come on, man. He's not involved anymore. It's over. And I don't think people give a shit at this point. It's going to become a point where he's no longer irrelevant. Vince has been the most powerful man in professional wrestling for years. But I'm saying, like, for the company and for big moves in the company, maybe he'll still have power. But for the everyday professional wrestler, he has rendered himself irrelevant. He's not the guy you have to impress anymore. He is not. He doesn't matter. His opinion doesn't matter. He could tell Triple H that he doesn't like some fucking talent, and Triple H will sign him anyways because Vince is not in charge. It's over. And that's massive. Our entire lives, Johnny North, Vince McMahon has been the one and only god of professional wrestling that every person in professional wrestling is trying to impress in some way to get to that next level. If you want to become a multi-millionaire professional wrestler, usually you have to impress Vince McMahon and go through him. Nowadays, it's Tony Khan, I guess, too. That works. People are making money with him, which is awesome. For a while there, it was Eric Bischoff. But Vince has been this constant, right?
Now it's going to be Bruce Pritchard, more than likely.
Triple H is the talent relations guy, though. He's going to be signing people.
Right, sign. But once you get there, you know, like, who's going to be head of creative? Like, you talked about who's going to take over Vince's spot. You would think Bruce Pritchard would be the guy because he was already doing SmackDown.
Triple H is already going to have way more of a say, though. As EVP plus his wife is co-CEO, Triple H is right in there with every decision being made now. He's back.
Of course, yeah. But, I mean, again, is he going to be head of creative? Probably not, because talent relations is a big enough job in itself. Mm-hmm. Especially if he's going to be doing NXT again. That's going to be gigantic for him. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's Bruce Pritchard, head of creative. Just the experience alone, it just makes sense.
It could be Stephanie.
I mean, Paul Heyman would be ideal. I don't see that happening, though. I think they like him more as a talent. He is a fantastic talent, so. But
he gets involved,
too.
He gets involved with creative. You can see that with the Roman Reigns stuff.
Well, yeah, his stuff, sure. I'm sure a lot of talent are like that too, where it's like they throw in their ideas and they'll listen to certain guys like Heyman, of course, but to him actually run the whole show again, be interesting.
I don't think that's ever going to happen. Though.
Yeah, it didn't work out. Remember during the pandemic, he was doing Raw and they weren't too happy with that.
Yeah, it didn't work out. But Stephanie has been head of creative before. Like, you know, Vince was CEO and the kind of final say in all of creative for WWE. I could see Stephanie being that person with Triple H.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
Just being the final say. Hey, it's a good thing. It's a bad thing. Who would you rather run creative in WWE? Who would you rather have the final yes or no in WWE? Stephanie McMahon or Nick Khan? Stephanie McMahon, somebody who's been in the wrestling business her whole life, who is a tremendous wrestling talent in her own right. Maybe not in the ring, but like promos, she's one of the greatest villains of all time. Her and her dad are tremendous. Or Nick Khan, who really doesn't know much about wrestling.
But friends with The Rock. And that goes a long way in wrestling.
Come on, man.
I mean, The Rock's the biggest star they can possibly get.
Yeah, but they can still get him. Although, might be in question now.
Well, I think with Nick Khan around, I think it helps it a lot. And again, Roman Reigns is still the champion, so I mean, that's the match to go for. That's what people want to see. Listen to the people. You complain that they don't listen to the people. That's what people want.
Yeah, that is the move. Roman versus Rock at WrestleMania. It seems like where they should be going. But Vince has been that guy for a lot of the wrestlers, like a father figure. I mean, the word was Brock Lesnar left when he heard Vince retired. Right? Well, that was the story.
The sense, the word was that if he's gone, I'm gone.
Yeah.
That's what people had heard, whatever, but
that's what Brian Alvarez from the Wrestling Observer, he was tweeting that out. It seemed like Meltzer was confirming. Sean Ross Sapp, who's one of these guys who breaks all these things, he was tweeting that out as well. He was reporting that Brock had left SmackDown, that they rewrote the show. And then at the end of SmackDown tonight, Brock Lesnar shows up. It was very bizarre.
Well, they worked the internet, which is actually fantastic. It's good when they do that.
Did they, though?
I think
I'm not sure.
Brock probably put on a show. I think Brock probably put on a show, and they made sure everyone would see it, so then it would get out, because they know the whole locker room. One of them's a mole, so someone saw it. It got out, and then they just had Brock come back. Finish the show, which they needed, because this show was very lackluster. I mean, without that, this show is absolutely disastrous. Like, if that's Vince's retirement show, it's a pathetic show. But thankfully, Brock showed up.
It is good that Brock showed up in the end, but I want to read you a tweet about from Sean Ross Sapp here, who's one of these guys who reported that Brock had left the arena and was mad. And was no longer on the script for SmackDown tonight, right? Okay. It's a weird situation. Because it seems like, okay, Brock Lesnar's advertised for SmackDown, Vince retires, and then all of a sudden they say, oh, Brock is mad because Vince retired, so he's leaving. And there were even reports out there that said, oh, WWE might get Goldberg for SummerSlam because Brock just disappeared. He's done. He's mad. There's no Vince.
Almost. So close.
Right? So, it was strange to me reading the things going on today while I was at the zoo.
Granby?
Yeah.
That's a good guess.
It was
just
pretty
took
good.
A shot in the dark. I mean
there's Granby only a couple.
Or Park Safari.
Yeah, that's it. Saw rhinos and everything. Saw gorillas.
Someone got ate by one, no? Or ate by hippo. That's it.
When? At the Granby 2?
Yeah, pretty sure I saw that.
Really? Recently?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw it, yeah. He was going right in the mouth.
Yeah, well, I don't know how they got in with the hippos.
It wasn't a real hippo, but...
Okay. I know what you're talking about now. I'm a little lost. It's been a long day.
It's okay. Your son's still alive. It's good.
Yeah, he's good. It wasn't a real hippo. So, what the hell are we talking about? Brock Lesnar?
That it's... they swerved everybody?
Well, did they, though? This is what I'm trying to understand. Was Brock really mad? Okay, so this is what Sean Ross Sapp is saying. Let me get this here for you. So Sean Ross Sapp, who's one of these guys who's reporting these things, he's taking a lot of heat tonight, as you might expect, because they said Brock left the arena, wasn't on the show, or wasn't on the run sheet or whatever. The script, right? So this guy says, bro, they played everyone, LOL. And then he goes, if you really think WWE went to the trouble of leaking Brock Lesnar was pissed to several wrestlers, rewrote the script without him, pulled him from their website just to work the net for the SmackDown six-man tag, I don't know what to tell you. It's interesting because it does seem like a lot of effort to, in the end, just have Brock Lesnar, the man who you advertise, on the show. But I suppose because it was such a lame appearance in the normal sense, because what Brock did was so basic of just attacking Austin Theory without even a Roman Reigns confrontation, like the Tribal Chief wasn't on the show tonight, right? Because it was such a lame appearance, they needed to do something to get people excited. Yes, he will be on Raw. Yes. The Roman. I think because it was so lame and they really had nothing, they thought, well, how do we spice this up? Maybe we tell people that Brock is mad and that he left. We tell Brock to leave for a bit and come back later. We'll hide him and then he'll just come out at the end of the show and attack Theory because that'll get people talking. I guess. Because, you know, there was an element in watching SmackDown tonight where I was wondering, like, are they going to address Brock? Because they have advertised Brock. How do they deal with no Brock? You know, are they going to do what they did with
the advertisement, apparently.
Say it again?
They pulled the advertisement, actually. They had it on the website, and then they pulled it from the website that Brock was appearing.
I got an email at 5:36 p.m., less than two and a half hours before SmackDown. With Brock Lesnar's face on it. Says he was going to be back tonight on SmackDown. They advertised Ludwig Kaiser, Shinsuke Nakamura, Liv Morgan, and Ronda Rousey face-to-face interview. What a dud that was. And the return of the Beast, Brock Lesnar. No, but that was weak. It was like 2 minutes, too. It's pointless.
Well, it would have been worse in front of the crowd, though. Like, just imagine how bad it would have been in front of
people.
You're right.
But I'm saying, like, 2.5 hours, WWE sending out emails to their people, Brock Lesnar on SmackDown tonight, 8 p.m. But because they really had nothing for Brock, I could see them trying to pull off some sort of fancy work, some sort of switcheroo where they say, oh, Brock's mad. And then it gets you interested and, is Brock going to show up? Will they address it in some way? How does this all work? You know?
Mm-hmm. It made a very crummy, like, run-in actually interesting because, yeah, you weren't expecting Brock to show up for a little bit. So
exactly.
I mean, he doesn't do anything great, but, again, the show wasn't good itself. So the fact that you got that was like, well, that's nice. A surprise. It's good to see that at least.
It was a surprise to see Brock. I kind of like seeing him beat people up, though. I mean, I didn't love seeing him beat up Gable and Otis because they're not really getting a big push. It's just kind of vicious beatings for no reason. But I did like seeing him beat up Austin Theory because, you know, he's coming up in the game. Pay some dues, deal with Brock. Everybody has to get beat up by Brock. It's your turn. And Brock, you know, he gives a good beating. Hits Theory with the F5, hit him with the briefcase a few times. Those briefcase shots look pretty good. In his back, those were bad.
He doesn't hold back.
And then the F5 on the case, too, was nice. It was good. He gives a good beating.
Brock knows how to be aggressive. Like, he brings the intensity. That's what's lacking in a lot of the wrestling. That's what lacked in a lot of the wrestling tonight, which just felt like, I don't know about you, it just felt like another episode of SmackDown that I've already seen. Because I think every match was a rematch of some variety.
Yeah, it was a tremendously boring show. It was really bad.
We still didn't get that match that you still don't want to see.
Sheamus and Drew?
Well, that. And Lacey and...
Aaliyah.
Yeah, your favorite wrestler.
Yeah, they have two matches that they keep advertising for SmackDown and not doing. And it's been like 4 or 5 weeks in a row. With Sheamus and Drew and with Lacey and Aaliyah, right? It's been several weeks of both of those feuds
same show.
Going nowhere.
It's weird when you watch that.
It's
That's
fucking
why the
ridiculous.
Show doesn't feel that good.
It's ridiculous. No wonder their head of creative has to fucking retire. He's embroiled in several sexual assault or sexual complaint, whatever, allegations. And
allegations.
He's being investigated by the board and all sorts of payoffs for oral sex and shit that he's doing. Fucking greasy stuff that Vince is up to. He's not focused on creative. He's just doing the same shit over and over again every week and hoping nobody notices. Well, we've noticed, Vince. We've noticed. And it sucks. I don't know who to complain to anymore. Bruce Pritchard? Doesn't have the same ring to it. You know, when you come on the show and you go, ah, fucking Vince, what's he doing? Feels good. When you come on, you're like Bruce Pritchard and Triple H, I think. I don't know. It's not the same.
Well, I don't know where to go. Twitter saying this was disappointing, and I was told, like, oh, you have to wait. You know, like, they aren't going to make new storylines out of nowhere. And, okay,
well,
fine,
yeah.
But that's not really the thing. It could still be a good show. It doesn't need to be great new storylines. But, you know, I guess we have to be patient to get actually good shows, and we just have to suffer now, I guess, from the meantime, what it looks like.
Yeah, it was pretty garbage. Raw was garbage this week.
Oh, Raw was, like, for the last couple of weeks, Raw was actually getting better, but took a nosedive this week for whatever reason.
I don't even... Like, there's nothing of note, really, that happened on Raw this week. Did anything
happen? Well, there's a
lot
that happened.
Really?
A lot happened, but not a lot of good things happened. I mean, Logan Paul was the last thing you saw on Raw, which is so weird.
Well, he's the biggest star in the show.
That part.
Biggest star in the show.
Yeah, but like...
By far.
It's just the talk with The Miz, though. At the end, like, that's how you're going to end the show. And they finally... And of course, they accept the match because of the whole, like, oh, I guess you have small balls. Well, now we're going to have a match. Because, you know, that's WWE logic there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you noticed that, too. It's like, they end it. Logan Paul leaves. And then the interviewer comes, Megan, I think, and asks The Miz some questions because I think they still had some time left. And then Miz just starts getting another promo right at the end of Raw.
Yeah.
It was just such an awkward ending.
And it's not really fun to watch another Miz promo.
Well, I don't have high hopes for that match, but Logan Paul, he was really good. So that's a 50-50 match. That's tough to say. I don't know if The Miz is that good to have a good match with Logan Paul, but Logan Paul was pretty good, so wait and see. But the true main event was that 6-woman tag, which was also god-awful.
Yeah.
Man, the women's matches on Raw are pretty bad. But
what
this
was the point
pretty
of that?
Bad. Like, 24/7 garbage, as usual.
Yeah. I don't care about that stuff. I didn't even watch it. I skipped over that. I didn't watch the 6-woman tag. I had other shit to do this week. I didn't have time. I skipped over a bunch of stuff on Raw this week. A bunch. All right? I was busy this week. I didn't have time. I was going to watch more of Raw today. I didn't have time, so I didn't. I skipped over some shit. I watched the Titus promo. I watched Logan Paul. And that's pretty much it. because I saw what they were doing with everything else. I don't need to watch Seth Rollins wrestle Ezekiel. It's not going to be life-changing. Yeah. It's not going to be earth-shattering. It doesn't fucking matter.
It was a rematch.
Super chat.
I'm kind of interested to see what Riddle and Kevin Owens do.
That was fun. An interesting promo, but that was just the hype. Riddle and Rollins.
Yeah.
For SummerSlam.
Yeah. Which I'm not that interested in.
Well, just going back to the women's thing, Dana did lose the 24/7 title to Tozawa. And then Tozawa lost to, I think, Nikki Ash. Then Nikki Ash lost to Bliss. And Bliss then, I believe, lost to Doudrop. Doudrop to Tamina. And then Tamina back to Dana.
Dana.
So, you know, just the circle.
Yeah, so nothing changed. So nothing actually happened.
Not really, no. But just a bunch. And then they finished the match, though, afterwards. And Asuka came in and beat Nikki Ash. Because they, you know, they actually had a match.
Yeah.
By the way, going on at the same time, so. But it was garbage.
Lee J. Robinson dropping a super chat. He says, still can't believe Vince retired. I thought it was a hoax or rumor. Wowzers. Thank you, Lee J. Yeah.
It is shocking.
Real. Antoinette says, I didn't miss much on Raw. Yeah, I don't think so. I'll watch it next week. I just didn't have time this week. And, you know, fuck it. It was garbage.
Oh, the almost match, too. You missed that. Like, that was really bad. Almost against Dawkins, which then turned into, I believe, a six-man tag with...
Yeah.
It just turned into a tag with MVP against the Street Profits with Almost. And then that turned into a DQ. Like, that was just terrible. That was really bad. Like, Almost got really exposed in that. Like, he like I said, the selling, like, him just moving around, that's how he sells. Like, it's really bad.
Yeah, he's not very good. He's not improved. I've had it with Almost. I don't need to watch Almost wrestle ever again. He's not improving at all. Some guys improve, and, you know, he has stayed bad. He's so awkward in the ring. He doesn't sell. His offense is garbage. He's no good. He can barely walk around in there. Big, awkward giant. I don't think that gets better. I think he gets released.
And another thing, though, in that match, though, like, I counted, like, Montez Ford, he does, like, 7 leg slaps in, like, the span of, like, 10 seconds.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's one thing to do, you know, 1 or 2 leg slaps, whatever. I mean, it happens in wrestling, but you see it, like, 7 times. It's like, well, this is getting kind of stupid now. Like, you do the whole leg slap on the ring apron, you do a leg slap jumping kick, you do just a leg slap kick regular, then you do a leg slap just to get him out of the ring. Like, everything's a freaking leg slap. It looks bad. Like, you got to space it out better and not make it look so goddamn obvious.
Like, that's another thing.
Ford is a great, great athlete, but, like, you know, in terms of, like, your timing needs to work better, I find.
It's too much Street Profits. These guys have, like, 20-minute matches on every WWE show I watch, and usually it's against the Usos tonight. In some sort of combination.
Huh? They started right after Stephanie. They were on tonight. They started,
I know.
They're on every show. They're on SmackDown.
Every show. And they cut long promos that aren't good. And they have long matches that aren't good.
But yeah, with the Usos, too, like, I like the match at Money in the Bank. But I don't know. The more they wrestle, the sloppier they get for whatever reason. I don't know if they get lazy or maybe it's just because they wrestle so much they're getting tired. But if you notice, the longer their matches go, the sloppier it gets. Like, a lot of their ducks, like, it's just not even close, the ducks. Like, they're just completely off, or they just move out of the way, or they hit the guy and they still do the move anyways. Like, it looks really sloppy for, like, WWE standards. It doesn't look like top quality.
And now who's going to give them shit for it?
Well, no one's going to give them crap for them because they're just going to say the Street Profits are still new and that's it, you know?
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, Vince was that guy where the buck stopped.
True.
Now there isn't that. You know?
It's still Michael Hayes. Michael Hayes gives people crap all the time still. He's a dick.
Yeah, but he doesn't carry the weight that Vince does. He doesn't have the power. True. You know? Vince carries that weight that nobody else does. And that's why I think it's going to be real interesting to see who fills those shoes in WWE. Is it going to be Triple H? How does that work? Who's going to be the guy or the woman that they look to and go, hey, this is who you have to impress. This is the person in charge ultimately. Because if you don't have that person, the WWE could get into some really weird territory. This Vince McMahon leaving could make the WWE vulnerable. And it's not like Vince is leaving it in a great position creatively. Financially, they're doing really well. They're the top wrestling company in the world. But creatively, they're in a weird place. I mean, you take the Usos and Street Profits, for example, right? Jeff Jarrett is the special referee for that match. He cuts a promo on SmackDown in the cutoff referee shirt. Tan.
Yep.
Jacked. Looking.
Got a big match coming up.
Looking good. It's got a big match coming up, right? So he cuts that promo more convincing than anybody tonight. No one tonight.
He knows that kind of
promo. Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But like he comes out, special ref comes out of nowhere. He's just looking like a million bucks. He's looking like, how come he's not world champion? What's going on here? Right? And his match next weekend, he's got two matches next weekend. Saturday, he's doing his little WWE thing. And Sunday, he's wrestling Ric Flair in his final match of all time. It'll be Ric Flair and Andrade versus Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. And that, to me, is feeling like the main event of next weekend. Not anything at SummerSlam.
Yeah. No, you're right. For sure. SummerSlam has a better card overall, but that match is the most intriguing match of that weekend, for sure.
How have they let that happen? Like, they should have something that's close.
Rick and Ring wrestle? That's
no,
crazy.
But there should be a debate as to what is the bigger match. You know what I mean? WWE is offering not a single thing on that SummerSlam card more intriguing than old-ass Ric Flair getting into it one more time. We shouldn't be more interested in that. It's just the curiosity factor, and WWE is so goddamn repetitive and boring. This is SummerSlam. This is supposed to be the WrestleMania of the summer, the second biggest show of the year. And what are we getting? Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar for the millionth time. They have main evented pay-per-view after pay-per-view against each other. So have the Usos and the Street Profits. Then you have Riddle versus Seth Freakin, Bianca versus Becky, which we've seen quite a few times. Logan Paul against The Miz. These are your celebrity matches, by the way. You're supposed to have celebrities against good wrestlers, not jabroni-ass wrestlers like Logan Paul is getting with The Miz, or Pat McAfee is getting with Baron Corbin. These are actually matches that they're offering to us. Bobby Lashley against Theory again. Bianca versus Becky. Liv Morgan versus Ronda Rousey. And they're trying to sell that like that's a real fight. That's a real match. If Ronda doesn't beat Liv Morgan in 5 minutes or less, their whole booking is out of whack.
But I feel, because you've talked about Charlotte coming back, I feel Charlotte might come in there, cost Ronda the match, and then set up maybe a three-way at Clash at the Castle. Because I think they're going to make the Castle more like the SummerSlam this year. Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, SummerSlam, they only got like 40,000 people. Castle, they got 70,000 already. So they're going to push that as the bigger show, I think. SummerSlam's kind of like, you know, the little SummerSlam that we're getting right now.
It's in a football stadium.
Yeah, but they're not selling as well as, you know, because in the UK, when was the last time they had a big pay-per-view, right?
Yeah.
It just makes sense that that sold better. And the UK, just tremendous fans as well.
So forget SummerSlam. Who cares?
In some of these matches, I think that's just the reason for like the laziness of having the rematches, where it's like, well, we're going to save the bigger matches for Clash of the Castle.
But they're not.
Well, you're going to see Charlotte come back. You want Charlotte to come back, she'll come back at the castle.
So?
Probably win the title at the castle, I bet, too.
That's not that big.
It's not, but that's the biggest thing they got. I mean, what else do they have?
Well, what? They're going to do Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns, another rematch that no one cares to see.
Well, it's the hometown guy, right?
I'm telling you. Pro wrestling is offering me nothing these days.
I'm not going to sit here. UFC.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that AEW is any better, because it's not. It's really not.
It was interesting this week. Well, we're watching Rampage. This is a pretty good match right now. Jay Lethal and Christopher Daniels. This is actually very good. But that's probably been the best thing I've seen from Rampage tonight. Everything else has been kind of meh. But I didn't hear any of the promos. And plus, they have a pay-per-view tomorrow as well. So I guess this is the last hype for the big pay-per-view.
I saw something where, like, a Seinfeld rerun at, like, 2:30 in the morning at the same rating as Rampage somewhere in the States, or maybe overall in America last week or the week before. I don't know if that's true or that was just a meme. Might have been a meme. I don't know.
Well,
I was like, what? I'm
pretty sure it's...
That's crazy. I can't believe that. Seinfeld is good,
I'm
though.
Pretty sure.
You know, I'd rather watch a Seinfeld rerun than Rampage, to be honest. Most nights.
Well, the Big Bang Theory... That's supposed to get like over 1 million viewers, and that's just reruns as well, right? So, and that's right before Dynamite starts. So
I've
right
never
away,
seen that.
There's a show. Well, it's not that great. It's not as good as Seinfeld. Yet that's getting better ratings than Rampage.
Is it getting better ratings than Seinfeld?
Well, in syndication, possibly. It depends where
what?
Where you're at. But
ridiculous.
Well, it's a more recent show. It's a more recent show, and people have seen Seinfeld so many times too at this point. So. However, again, Rampage.
Yeah, but how about this, John? I've never seen Big Bang Theory, and I've seen all the Seinfelds millions of times, and I would still rather watch a Seinfeld that I've seen a bunch of times than a Big Bang Theory that I've never seen ever, because I've never seen any
right.
of them.
Well, you're one of the few, I think, in that case, because more people want to see shows they haven't seen before. But with Rampage, I think the main problem, again, is this 10 p.m. time slot. Like, I think the show would be better off if it was on a Saturday at 6:05.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Oh, they're trying to hype this Ring of Honor pay-per-view tomorrow. We'll talk about AEW and Ring of Honor here briefly. Because, honestly...
You got some Seinfeld fans in the chat. That's good.
Seinfeld is the
best. I also
best.
Agree with the chat, too, that I don't think we've seen the last of Vince on WWE TV. I think we'll see him again at one point. Like, tonight was a terrible, like, you know, send-off for Vince. Like, he's got to get a better retirement send-off than that. Like, they're going to give him something, I think. They just got to let everything kind of cool down for him right now.
Yeah, well, it's hard to do a big celebration of a guy who's being investigated for all these misdeeds. Like, how do you celebrate Vince right now? Even the fact that Stephanie is out there Ooh. Saying, thank you, Vince. I mean, it's a little rough. It's a little...
It is tough. I understand.
It's
I
hard to swallow.
Like...
No pun intended there. God.
For some people, it's like, yeah, you shouldn't celebrate Vince, whatever. However,
yeah.
I mean, it still is his company. You know, and he did put in like 40 years... of television and entertainment. It did give people a lot of jobs, made them millionaires. So it's like, he did do some bad, but he did do some good. So I understand why people want to at least put him over for the good that he did.
Yeah, but so did Bill Cosby.
Right? Yeah. Well,
we're not celebrating that, motherfucker.
Your demons. Everyone's got their demons, King.
Well, Cosby's demons, I think, worse than Vince's, although it's hard to tell at this point. It's hard to tell because we're just starting to scratch the surface. I mean, Cosby seemed like he was like a serial rapist. So that's a different thing than what Vince is doing. But there have been rape accusations with Vince, too. Like, it's fucking hard to tell with Vince now. It's like, how far does this go? How bad does this get? He's retiring. He's going away. And that might be enough. But it might not. Like, what
I
if
think
somebody,
we'll see him again one day.
What if, you know, there's more allegations out there? What if more people start coming forward? That's how these things happen. All of a sudden, charges are being pressed. You know? That's how things happen. One woman hears a story in the news about another woman, and they're like, damn, that happened to me with this guy. And then, you know, and there's all that stuff about Vince sending nude pictures of himself to women. There was the story in the tanning salon there that he went to in Florida where he was accused of doing that. There's now he's being investigated for having done that to one of the employees in WWE, and they had to pay that woman off and sign an NDA with her. So this is a thing that he's done on at least two occasions that we know about. That's a sexual assault. You can't send a woman, or anyone really, a picture of your genitals if they don't want to see that shit. That's a sexual assault. You could get in trouble for that. And if Vince is doing that to multiple people and women start coming out, like, you know, he may face criminal charges. Then, you know, you really can't celebrate the guy. It's getting to the point now where you start to wonder, how bad is this? Because after every set of new allegations that come out, it seems to get worse. And from what I'm understanding, there's way more. That's what you're hearing too, right, John? Like, there's talk, and there's rumors, and there's a lot of shit that you're hearing now, and it feels like, oh, there's probably more to this story than what we know is confirmed. There are a lot of other allegations floating around that are now coming to light and being looked at in a different way. Things said about Vince or things that former talent have said about their time there. And people now feeling more emboldened to come out and tell their story. And no doubt some of those stories will start to come to light very soon. There's more. I don't know how bad it gets, but I know that there's more.
Well, again, Vince just getting himself out of the spotlight in a sense in terms of the company. Maybe he thinks that's going to help things die down. People will stop paying attention to him that much. People stop looking at the stories. People stop digging, possibly. That's what he's hoping for. I don't know. Wait and see with this. Like, I mean, if it's this bad, you could imagine it might get even worse. But again, wait and see.
I'm let down. Like, I love Vince. I feel sad.
I mean, I'm not overly surprised that, you know, he cheated on his wife. Like,
that
wasn't
fine.
A surprise whatsoever. That's not fine, but I'm not surprised by that. Like,
no, I mean, but he's admitted to that in the past. There was a Playboy interview. There was a Howard Stern interview that he did where he talked about cheating on Linda. And most people kind of knew. I mean, Linda was doing stuff in the government. She was living in Florida. Vince was living Connecticut, New York. I mean, it was kind of understood that there was an arrangement there, that they were leading separate lives. I don't see that as cheating on your wife. I think if she's aware of what's happening and maybe she has a partner of her own, you're just maintaining a relationship for the business, but because it could be messy to separate all that stuff. And they're just avoiding that. But I think Linda is well taken care of financially, and it just makes sense for her. Like, I don't feel bad for Linda McMahon in this situation, other than she might be, you know, embarrassed by all this shit that Vince is doing. Vince should have been more discreet and maybe not doing these things with his employees, for sure. Not breaking the law as well. That could help. Bob Berger's wondering if they're swingers. I don't think that's the situation. I think they just kind of got to the place in their relationship where they decided to stay together for the business but lead separate lives. And that happens to a lot of powerful, rich couples. You know? It happens. They reached an arrangement. I don't see that as a bad thing. I think the bad thing is, you know, coercing women into giving you oral sex, women that work for you, and then when they don't want to do it anymore, you don't renew their contract. I think the bad thing is, you know, having sexual relations with an employee. Actually, not even. Having some sort of relationship with a woman that lives in, I think, your building, and then Vince gave her a job for $100,000, and then gave her a raise, or wanted to give her a $200,000 raise to bump her salary to $300,000 a year, but that didn't go, so he bumped her to $200,000 a year. That seems wrong. Among other things, you know, we're hearing so much about the private jet and the private meetings. I remember hearing a story about Vince McMahon and Kelly Kelly that always struck me as odd, that I think Jim Ross told or Bruce Prichard told on one of their podcasts, and I remember hearing it thinking, that's fucking awkward. Vince, Kelly Kelly was just starting out in WWE. She was like 19 years old, and they had her stripping.
That's right.
Doing a sexy right. dance and then taking off all her clothes, but not showing everything on ECW TV. And apparently,
Extreme.
Yeah. And apparently there was an issue. They didn't like how she danced.
Well, she sucked at dancing.
So Vince took her into maybe his private jet, his office, whatever, him and another older man. And Vince starts dancing, and maybe dancing close to her. It's unclear. But Vince starts dancing for Kelly Kelly and telling her how great of a dancer he is. And who knows what else he was doing at that time. That always struck me as odd. If you're a 19-year-old girl, and here's some 50, 60-something-year-old billionaire at the time, 50-something, late 50s, jacked Vince McMahon, huge guy, dancing in front of you, showing you how to dance, maybe giving you a lap dance, and there's like Bruce Prichard like, oh, yeah! How do you think Kelly Kelly felt in that moment? And I gotta imagine that wasn't the worst of it. I gotta figure. I mean, just the way she was brought into the company couldn't have been easy for her. Dealing with all those old, greasy, pervert men like Vince McMahon and John Laurinaitis.
Well, she was dating Test at the time, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, not right away.
So,
probably had to get to him for a little protection, although I don't know how that worked out. I don't know. Didn't work out for Stephanie, although that was work. Anyhow. It's just, you know, I think that this shit with Vince has been going on for a long time. You've heard the stories about the private jet rides. You've heard the stories about the bearskin rug. Vince apparently had a bearskin rug in his... I mean, but that's with male talent. You know? Like the Vince bearskin rug stories? Who have you heard that about, John? On the count of three, let's say the name together. One, two, three. Shawn Michaels.
Kurt Angle.
Whoops.
I heard Kurt Angle.
I heard Ultimate Warrior, too. What?
Okay.
Holy shit. What? When that breaks, like, what is that about? How many, okay, we've all heard about multiple male wrestlers getting a big push from Vince for because of some sort of sexual activity that happened on a bearskin rug at his house. These are rumors that have persisted in professional wrestling for at least 20 years.
I don't believe those rumors. But
the wrestlers themselves have joked about it, and who fucking knows, man? Brett has always said, like, I don't know, Vince and Sean had that weird relationship, and felt like Sean had something on Vince. I don't know. Like, Brett's even been like, I fucking don't know, you know? And Brett would know, he'd be right there. But he's, like, suspicious. Like, but, I mean, Brett's going to say those things about Vince and Sean to kind of... But just the way he said it is kind of like, what? What do you mean? What's happened? Bearskin rug. Why does that come up so often? Ultimate Warrior?
Again, I don't believe those rumors. I just think just rumors. Just because... I think people see that Vince has, and he admires certain athletes, you know, and I can understand that because, like, look at a lot of them, you know, they're incredible, especially Kurt Angle, like, he's a friggin' monster.
I don't believe that.
So, well, you do know that he tried to take him down. You do know that.
But I don't believe they had sexual relations.
I don't believe they had that either, but I've heard that, but.
Jesus.
But I don't believe that too, whatever, so it doesn't really matter. But
do you believe it about the other dudes?
No, I don't think so either. I think maybe, you know, Vinny, like, he showed some, you know, again, admiration, you know, like, oh, wow, you have such a great physique, pal, you know, stuff like that.
What about when Scott Hall tells that story about Vince McMahon? Well, Scott is uncomfortable about Goldust. Right, Razor and Goldust are doing an angle, and Vince is uncomfortable, and Scott's uncomfortable with Goldust doing all that stuff to him, touching up on him and stuff, right? Because Goldust was playing like a, you know, gay character, and Razor Ramon was uncomfortable, and he goes to Vince McMahon, and they're talking about it, and Vince starts a story off with, "Well, let me tell you about my first homosexual experience." And Scott's like, "You're first? What do you mean first? What do we? I didn't know, you know, like it kind of like what?" And then he went on to say a story. But Scott Hall didn't kind of elaborate further, and he didn't ask Vince, like, "What do you mean first? Like, how to?" When somebody says that to you, it's kind of like, "Oh, first of how many? Are you? Is this something like?" Vince, as far as we know, is a man who likes ladies and has children, but who knows? He may be bisexual, and it may be a thing that he does with some of his male wrestlers as well. It may not just be the female talent that have been the victim of Vince McMahon. Some of the male talent could have been victimized by Vince, and you know. Vince saying, "Let me tell you about my first homosexual experience, pal." What do you mean, your first? What is that? What? You know? The bearskin rug, Shawn Michaels, Ultimate Warrior, Kurt Angle? I mean, who knows? And if you're a wrestler, had a few drinks, sitting around at Vince McMahon's house, you know that if you do this, your wildest wrestling dreams and financial dreams are coming true. Say you go through with it. I mean, the torment that you must feel, if that's why Shawn Michaels got a big push and became the Heartbreak Kid and all that shit, like, he can't feel good about that. He must wonder, like, was it on my own merit or was it because I had sex with Vince? You know, like that's, you know, so you don't want to talk about that stuff. It's got to be embarrassing. It's got to feel odd. I feel bad if any of the male talent were the object of Vince's, you know, advances. I really do. But the rumors have always been there. And I know a lot of the people on the chat are like shocked by this. But, you know, these are the rumors and these are the stories that we've heard watching and listening and reading about wrestling for as long as we have, right, John? I mean, when I say bearskin rug and Vince McMahon, you know what I'm talking about. We've all heard that shit. And it's not with women. It's never been with women.
Well, again, so, like, you know, neither of us have met Vince. So, you know, we don't really know what he's like. Like, how he is around people, how he is around the boys, you know, how he is around all the women, too. So, you know, everything's really just speculation at this point. And, you know, he's at his lowest point right now. So everyone's going to kind of dump on him a lot. So, until it's been proven, like, I don't know if I believe any of it. So,
but it's just that now that some things are coming out and seem like they are proven, right? There's some shit that we know some that things, he's doing, right?
Right. Yeah. The NDAs. Yeah.
It just makes me rethink all these kind of funny little rumors that you've heard about Vince. Like when Brett says, oh, Sean and Vince had sex with each other, it's kind of like, oh, Brett's just saying that. But now it's like, well, did they? Because it just makes you rethink everything. Oh, Vince had private meetings on his plane with the women, the divas. Back then, it's like, oh, okay, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Maybe he's just having a bunch of people on his plane. But now you're like, oh, what happened there? What's the deal? How many? How often was this happening? Bearskin rug. What happened? You know, there's just, now that we know some shit is real, it makes you question everything that you thought wasn't real.
I guess you put a little bit of like doubt in some stories now, sure, but again, it's wrestling and a lot of people stretch their imaginations in terms of their stories and like, well, this sounds right. So yeah, sure, this happened, you know, like a lot of that happens in wrestling. So that's why it's like, it's hard to believe a lot of it. And again, this is like the big times. Like you wouldn't expect anything like this to happen. Like all this shenanigans, debauchery, like doesn't make sense. Like why, you know, it doesn't make sense why you pay someone $7 million for sex, but apparently this has happened. So.
Well, it's $7 million to go away. You're not paying $7 million for sex. You're paying $7 million for them to go away because you did some bad shit.
The result of sex. I mean,
yeah, but that's not really what's happening, John.
Because of that, you know, result.
Come on.
It ended up because of that.
No, because you did some bad shit with somebody that worked for you. And you didn't want them to talk.
As you said before, hush money, you know, like.
Yeah.
I didn't think we'd get into that, but here we are.
Here we are. Antoinette dropping a super chat. Thank you, Antoinette. She says, we'll miss SummerSlam next weekend, OVO weekend concerts. Oh, you got tickets. Nice. I know that OVO festival was really tough to get tickets for. People were complaining online. Good for you getting tickets for that. Looked really good. Drake is bringing out like Young Money for a reunion. They've got Wayne and Nicki Minaj on that thing. That's going to be a pretty awesome concert in Toronto next weekend. Good for you, Antoinette. That's a much better way to spend your time than watching SummerSlam. I'd much rather see SummerSlam Young Money
and UFC.
Young Money reunion than SummerSlam. Although, no, UFC, I think I'd probably stick with the UFC. Oh, Monday is Drake and Friends. Chris Brown on Friday. I'm not interested in seeing Chris Brown at all. I'm not interested in that. I'd fight Chris Brown. I'd fight him good.
There's a lot of allegations against him, too.
Yeah, he's a piece of trash. He's a bad guy. Chris Brown, piece of shit. He beat the fuck out of Rihanna and somehow still has a career. That's weird to me. I don't understand that. People feel bad for him for some reason? I don't get that. Yeah, I don't like Chris Brown. You can't do that to a lady. I don't care what's happened to you in your past, how bad you feel in the future. If you do that shit one time to a lady, go fuck yourself. I got no time for you ever again. You know? You can't do that. That's fucked up. You can't punch a lady in the face. Very uncool. Don't do bad things to ladies. Chris Brown, Vince McMahon. Treat ladies with some goddamn respect. Or we'll come for you. All right? Fucking destroy you. I've got a daughter now, so I'll fucking kill you. You know? You can't fuck with little ladies. Makes me real, like, defensive. I'm like, hey, fucking, you know? But I've always felt that way. I mean, what the fuck? Chris Brown, Vince McMahon. What are these guys doing? Is everybody just a fucking creepo out there? What is happening?
I worry you're going to be a paranoid father very soon, it sounds like.
Why do you think I'm going to jiu-jitsu as much as I am? Getting ready. Getting ready for war. All right, what else are we talking about here? Anything else happening in wrestling? Triple H, new EVP, Brock Lesnar was on Raw.
There was the whole thing with Seth Franklin, and like he was all rude to people, and then he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I was rude because my wife told me not to be rude to people, so I'm gonna give out this big heartfelt message about being, you know, nice to people, and
right,
I'll be nice to you, just don't talk to me when I'm working out."
Yeah.
Like really, just not being a heel whatsoever. But I guess he's got to be, you know, nice, because that's the whole WWE image, is just everyone's got to be nice. Smiles on people's faces, right? We heard that like constantly all the time this week. If anything,
yeah.
WWE doesn't make me smile that much, to be honest.
I didn't really.
I smile at the boxes, though.
Yeah, I don't know. That whole Seth Rollins thing, he was at his gym that he owns in Iowa with Becky, and they were working out, and some fans came in and wanted to get a picture, and he basically told them to leave, and then he apologized for it later.
Rude. Yeah.
Whatever. Did Max Dupree get replaced with Maxine Dupree tonight on SmackDown?
It seemed like it. Maybe, I don't know, he was sick or something. I don't know. Didn't make sense why he wasn't there.
It was weird, right? Like, this was his gimmick. And then here's this new lady who I've never seen before. I have no idea who she is. And she's Maxine Dupree. It feels like she's just stealing his gimmick. Like, this is mine now.
I think she was in NXT UK. I think she was Ginny, I think. I'm not too 100% on what NXT UK wrestlers are.
She's
but I
British?
Think that's what her name was.
She's British?
I believe so.
I didn't notice an accent at all. She sounded American? No?
Again, I could be wrong about who it was, actually. It could be from NXT, actually, but I thought it was from NXT UK.
I had no idea who she was. No clue. I like Ronda Rousey and Liv Morgan backstage, where Ronda said, "I'm going to beat you at SummerSlam because I'm Ronda Rousey and you're Liv Morgan." I was like, yep, seems about right. That's all you need to say. I'm Ronda Rousey. You're Liv Morgan. Get the fuck out of here. And then Liv says,
"Super awkward."
Liv is so bad. Liv is just awful. "I'm going to beat you because I love this and I need this more than you do." Well,
she said,
okay.
"I'm looking you in the eyes," and like she's looking off to the side, and it's like, "You're not looking in the eyes." Like, It's just weird.
It was weird. Ronda seemed all right. Like, when you're the awkward one in a Ronda Rousey promo, you know you got a problem.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, when Ronda seems like the tenured vet who seems comfortable in her own skin doing the promo, and you just seem awkward and you don't know what you're doing. Like, when Ronda walked away, Liv looked at her and kind of smiled. Like, I'm champion. I'm on TV. Like, she's supposed to be intense, but she can't help but be happy that she's, you know, being featured. It was bad. It's just, you don't believe that shit that she's saying. I mean, I do think that she needs this more than Ronda does. Ronda doesn't need this at all. But, you know, she's a much more compelling character. Much more believable. Much more interesting. Much better in every way. She's Ronda fucking Rousey. And her opponent is Liv Morgan. It's not even her real name. What is her real name?
Well,
nobody even
look
knows.
That up. I don't
nobody,
even care.
Well, that's it. No, what is her real name?
Well,
Gianna Jean Daddio. Gianna Daddio.
That's a good last name.
Her last name is Daddio?
It's a great last name. It should be what she actually goes by, Liv Daddio. That'd
Liv Daddio.
Fantastic.
Man, when she goes to AEW, she's going to be Jeannie Daddio. Gianna Daddio. She could just be Gianna Daddio.
It's better than Liv Morgan.
You should be Johnny Daddio. Be Johnny Daddio now. Change your name from Johnny North to Johnny Daddio. Then when she comes back, when she gets released, which you know is coming at some point, and she's like Gianna Daddio, you could be like, tag team! Gianna and Johnny Daddio. The Daddios!
I was going to say, like, well, frankly, yeah, it sounds like very Italian.
Yeah, yeah. Gianna Daddio from New Jersey. She is Italian. Well, she's American, but she's of Italian descent.
AJ would approve.
Yeah, AJ would say, she's Italian. I like that. AJ claims, like, he's Italian. But he's Canadian, you know? He was born here. But a lot of guys...
He's been in Italy, though.
He's probably been a couple of times. I don't know. A lot of people are, like, from, like, not from the places that they claim to be from. Like, they're Canadian, but they say they're, you know, I'm Mexican. Where were you born? Here. My parents were born in Mexico. Well, all right, but I mean, all right. It's fine.
Yeah, but it's like the
I'm fine
Chris Jericho
that.
Thing. Jericho was born in Long Island, but he says he's Canadian.
Yeah, I think he's a little too far gone for that. You want to talk about Chris Jericho and Jesse Ventura?
We can talk about that. Yeah, sure. That was good stuff. That was good to have Jesse Ventura on. Like, you don't hear from Jesse enough recently.
That shit fucking got me too excited. I couldn't even believe that that conversation took place. So, if you're new to... the Chris Jericho world. His wife is one of those Republicans.
Trump supporters.
Oh, yeah. Whatever you call them. Trump supporters, Republicans. The same thing at this point, no? I think the Republican Party has basically fallen
in line. I feel
like
line. There is a difference.
Is there? I don't know. I can't tell. So she is one of those Trump-supporting Republicans, and she went down to the... thing in D.C. on January 6th where they tried to do the thing that everybody's mad about.
Yeah.
The what now? The overthrow?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
She tried
to.
That.
She was Chris Jericho's
she
wife.
She was there. She didn't
was there.
Try anything.
She was there right. On January 6th. She went to Washington, D.C. from Florida, traveled to Washington, D.C. for January 6th with a group of her friends and was pictured doing so. Jericho had Jesse the Body Ventura, former governor of Minnesota, on his podcast this week, or maybe last week. And Jesse goes on this tangent about how January 6th was a, a disgrace and people should be apologizing to him directly and all sorts of shit.
The Republican Party should be
the Republican
him,
yes. Party, and like it's just he's just going on and on about how it's a total disgrace. And then and then Jericho's like, oh, uh-huh, uh-huh. And he says nothing. And you're all, everybody's just waiting for Jericho to go, well, actually, Jesse, you might want, you know, nothing. And Jericho has also, like, donated a bunch of money to Donald Trump and his campaign and stuff like that and different Republican people that seem interesting characters. I don't look into them too much because it's upsetting, quite frankly, to see what kind of morons run states and provinces and countries around here. It's not just America.
He did accuse the whole, like, voting system being corrupt or something because it took so long for them to say, like, who was the president.
Who accused the voting system?
Jericho.
Oh, did he? Yeah, didn't he get into it with MVP about that? Because Jericho is a big Trump supporter, too.
Right.
Yeah. And Ventura was just like, these people are a disgrace. And Jericho's just like, oh, cool. Nice perspective. Interesting. Doesn't say shit. Doesn't say shit. And it's just like, wow. So Jericho's like, I mean, is he Canadian? At this point, like, he's lived in Florida for so long. He's, like, donating to American political causes. He probably votes for American people, you know?
Sounds like AJ's trying to get through in the chat, it looks like.
Yeah, it does seem like AJ, doesn't it?
He's trying to get his message across.
Yeah.
Someone is.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, this... Yeah. I don't trust that at all. I know AJ's up. If Danny Brooke was chatting at the same time, then you might wonder, but... Where is AJ? Somebody. Where is AJ when we need him? I see that big Bob Berger saying, "Where is AJ when we need him?" Only AJ would write that. AJ also, and then don't dump on Trump, guys. Be nice. That sounds like something AJ would say too. So, I'm glad that you said it first, John, because I suspected.
Well, I don't really feel like we're dumping on Trump that much. I mean, maybe you are. I feel I'm just stating what's happening. Like, this is Jericho had Ventura on the podcast. Ventura completely dumped on the Republican Party. And that was that. Well, did you freeze out again?
I don't know. Did I?
I think you did. But you're back.
Okay. Don't dump on AJ. See? This is AJ. Bob Burgers, whatever this alias is, prove to me you are not AJ.
Well, I agree. We shouldn't dump on AJ. AJ's a good guy.
Yeah, he's all right, but I don't know. I think he's using aliases to push his own narrative. Oh, I'm not AJ. I just think AJ's the best. Real suspicious. Real suspicious. Although Doug Hepburn was saying some positive things about AJ, and I know that Doug Hepburn is not AJ. But Big Bob Burgers, I'm suspicious of you. Are you really somebody that's not AJ, or are you AJ? I don't know. Too much AJ support makes me wonder. And Johnny's thinking that too, right?
Well, it's just because I said don't dump on Trump, and then it's like, don't dump on AJ. It's like, interesting. That's it.
He's not denying that he's AJ either. He's just saying that we're hilarious. Yep. Fishy, John.
Well,
fishy.
Having fun.
I don't know.
Fun tonight.
All right. Chris Jericho had a big old match this week against Eddie Kingston that he won. Pretty bloody affair. Barbed wire everywhere match with the shark cage. Nobody got hurt with the shark cage. Everything was fine. Anna Jay rejoining
Ty Jericho
Conti.
After the match?
Huh? Jericho looked kind of, yeah. He looked pretty cut up, right?
Apparently he said he broke something. He's not sure
really?
What exactly, but he's pretty sure he broke. Yeah, well, did you see at the end, like, he was stuck in that barbed wire. It took him a long time to get him out. When he went to that spider web at the end, like, I think he may have hurt, like, I'm not sure if it's his collarbone or something, but it looked like he went in so awkwardly because his arm got stuck and, like, he couldn't pull it out, but he was trying to. I think he may have injured his elbow or something, or again, collarbone.
Well, I hope he's all right. I like Chris Jericho, despite his, you know, like, I may not agree with everything that he does, but he's still Chris Jericho. He's still fantastic.
Well, I really actually enjoyed the match. I mean, it was brutal. It was violent. But, I mean, that's what a barbed wire everywhere match should be.
Yeah.
The only thing I didn't like was the after match. Like, that was garbage. But the actual match I enjoyed.
Yeah. I thought it was all right. It's not my favorite style of match, but I thought it was pretty good. People are mad that Jericho won.
I like it because I was surprised. I wasn't expecting it. And, I mean, there was so much interference that it's fine. Like, didn't really hurt Kingston for losing. There's so much interference. And then you have the Anna Jay heel turn. Wasn't needed, but, I mean, just extra added on. I mean, Eddie was fighting the world. It was impossible to win.
Yeah. Eddie Kingston's supporters seem to be upset. I think it made sense. But if Jericho is hurt, I just wonder, like, they seem to have more in store for Eddie Kingston going forward. And Jericho, like, I don't know what this one win does for him. Like, Eddie Kingston losing here kind of slows the momentum for him. I don't know what he does next.
Well, I feel like the way they looked at this was that because Eddie didn't win, it's like he's still the underdog. And he keeps that going with him where it's like you still don't believe in him completely. And he probably wanted to keep that. Like, if he overcame the odds, then it's like, well, then he should be winning the title, right? But now it's like, now you don't believe in him so much, so you still think he's the underdog. So I think he probably thinks he's going to be more over that way if he loses. That's probably the way they looked at it. And Jericho stays still a top star because he doesn't lose. He lost the first match anyways already. So if anything, they're actually even in terms of their matches now.
Are we done with them feuding?
I kind of hope so. I mean, at least let's take a break for a little bit. Like, I don't think we need to do this again. Maybe they'll do a big tag thing, whatever, because there's still the Blackpool Combat Club. I could see them still feuding with them, but I think Jericho Kingston, that should be done. We don't need to see this match again. I mean, Jericho's probably going to take some time off for now. So, yeah, just take a break from this and move on. Kingston can do something else. I mean, there's the whole rest of the Jericho Appreciation Society to feud with, so I expect the mixed tag, probably him and Ruby against Sammy and Ty, probably.
Ty and Anna Jay getting back together. Anna Jay joining up with them.
Well, unnecessary, but whatever. I mean, I guess they didn't think Anna Jay was really doing much. Another member of the Dark Order, I guess, is gone from them, I guess. So more and more that group falls apart, it seems. But I guess they just felt, and it makes sense too, like in terms of heels and faces, they don't have too many strong heels, so trying to get more heels, I guess. But Anna Jay, just, it's whatever. It's just, she's better with Ty, I guess they felt. She wants to do this. They gave her what she wanted. Kind of weird for Jungle Boy now.
Why?
Well, because they have Sammy and Ty coupled together, you know. And Jay and Jungle Boy can't be a couple on TV if it's face heel.
Do they need to be?
I feel like they always at least tease it a little bit, you know, or you see it every now and then. You see, you know, Britt and Adam Cole, right? I mean, it's not always there, but it's comes and goes, you know. You really can't do that now, though, with Jungle Boy and especially now that Jungle Boy came back.
Yeah, Jungle Boy came back, went to confront Christian, and it seems like Luchasaurus kind of stepping aside. Did Luchasaurus, was he playing Christian? What's the deal with Luchasaurus? Is he with Jungle Boy or is he with Christian?
See, it's not as clear cut, you know, like it's more elaborate than what we thought, you know, and we'll have to wait to see how this all plays out. But I'm expecting there's a bit more to this. And again, the pay-per-view is in September, so we're going to have to wait. We could easily see it being Jurassic Express against Christian and a partner, possibly.
I mean, that doesn't really excite me. I think Christian versus Jungle Boy one-on-one would be the match.
Well, that's going to happen. But what will come first will be the tag. Will Luchasaurus actually turn against Jungle Boy eventually? You know, a lot of things will still happen with this story, but this was just one step again to see what will happen.
Where would you rather see Luchasaurus? As Christian's kind of backup giant guy? Or still as a tag team partner of Jungle Boy?
You know, I liked him with Christian, but I also like that he didn't just completely turn against Jungle Boy right away. You know, like the fact that they were a team for so long, they had a friendship for so long, he didn't just throw that away like it was nothing. So, like, if he does actually throw it away, like, you're going to find out why. There's going to be a greater reason to it than just Christian told him to.
I'm also not super interested in that.
Well, Christian's, again, some of the best stuff we've been seeing. Like, I really enjoyed that match just because of what Christian was doing. Like, telling Luchasaurus what to do and then tag me and then get out. Like, I like that stuff. Like, Christian is such a great heel. It's fantastic. He's, in my opinion, he's the best thing going right now in AEW right now.
Yeah. But the thing of it ending with a match or feud with Jungle Boy being the opponent in all of this, kind of, it's like, oh, it's fun, it's Christian, and then, oh, at the end of it, it's Jungle Boy. It's okay, but it's just, I'm not super hyped to see what's next there. And there's just not that much going on in AEW. FTR cut a pretty good promo about their match against the Briscoes at that Ring of Honor pay-per-view tomorrow night, which we'll get to in a minute. Ricky Starks wrestled Cole Carter. Who the hell is Cole Carter? I know I'm supposed to care, but I just don't. What?
He was in AEW before, but he signed with WWE. And he was, I forget, was he Tony Two Dimes or something in NXT? But then he failed the wellness test. I don't know if you could tell, but like before, like he was like super skinny. Now he's in somewhat decent shape. So, but you know, if you can't pass wellness test, you're out in WWE. So he's back in AEW. I thought it was all right match. I mean, he's only had a couple years experience and it kind of showed in the match. Like there's potential with him, but I think him as a regular on Dynamite, that's a little too much. Good talent, but you know, he needs a lot more seasoning, I think. Ricky Starks, though, to me, like he really highlighted himself with everything they did in that match. Like to me, they should do more with Ricky Starks.
Yeah. He's very good. Like he's got presence, charisma, wrestling ability, promo ability, it factor. He's got all the things. That pose he does when he fires up on promos. He's cool. He's got style. Like, he's different. He's special. And they don't treat him special.
Well, they're starting to.
Damn, man. He's got it all together. Injuries have hurt him. Injuries have slowed down his progress.
Broke his neck. Yeah. That hurt.
Yeah. But now, like, let's go with Ricky Starks. Danhausen next week. My buddy Danhausen.
Yep. Should be interesting. I expect Ricky to win, though.
Yeah, I don't see Danhausen beating him. Although it would be funny to give Danhausen the FTW title, the Taz belt.
Well, they're talking about all the champions in the past and all this, and like they've all been tough guys, but Ricky's actually the longest reigning FTW champion, which was kind of interesting.
Longer than Taz?
Taz didn't actually have the title that long. Like, he had it for a couple months, and then he lost to Sabu. And then when he unified the titles, like, there was no more FTW title after that.
Interesting. Although the belt means nothing. And why is Darby Allin losing to Brody King?
Because I guess in the end, they're going to beat the House of Black, right? I mean, they're building up to that big match, whatever it's going to be, probably a big tag thing, whatever. So the House of Black have to get some wins in the meantime, and this is one of the wins. I'm going to guess we're going to get Malakai Black versus Sting from what it's looking like.
Not Darby and Sting versus Malakai and Brody?
I think that's the pay-per-view match, but I think before we get there, we might get Malakai versus Sting 1-1. That's pretty big to get Sting's first singles match. Put that on Dynamite. I could see that happen.
He still hasn't wrestled a singles match in AEW. Malakai Black will be the first guy? You really think they give him the match?
I mean, it makes sense the way they've been hyping it. It's like, why not? I mean, we expect a tag. I mean, they're definitely going to do a tag, but you have an opportunity to pull off a singles match here. Why not?
I wouldn't mind seeing it. I still want to see the return of Bryan Danielson. I want to see the return of CM Punk. And, of course, I want to see the return of Kenny Omega. And it seems like Kenny Omega might be closer to a return than either of the other guys. A lot of rumors about Kenny Omega possibly being ready to go sooner rather than later, which would be great for AEW. We need the best bout machine back. We need Kenny Omega. He's so damn good. He's so fun to watch. When he shows up in AEW, it's a complete shift. He's a bigger star than anybody that they have right now. He's the best guy that they have right now. When Bryan Danielson comes back, then there'll be some competition. But right now, let's get Kenny in there. I hope he comes back soon. Looks like he's coming back soon. That's the rumor.
Well, I feel like this is intensifying because the Bucks lost the tag titles and everyone thinks they're going to bring in the Trios titles.
Right.
And that's what they want to do. Right. So that's probably why people are really pushing this right now. And I mean, it makes sense if you're going to do that, but I mean, we also just brought in a new title. We need to bring in another new title right away. Like, I feel like you don't have to, but wait and see what happens. Like, does Kenny go right back with the Bucks? Does that really make sense right now?
I mean, they did kind of cost him the AEW belt in the last match that he was in AEW before leaving.
Right.
But maybe he comes back and he's like, look, I understand, we're friends, whatever. They come back together. They work together. They become the first ever AEW Trios champions. And then through that run, they kind of figure out a way to break up. And maybe Hangman comes back to the Bucks and Hangman and Kenny feud again. There's a lot of things you can do. Hangman seems like he might come back to the Bucks at some point, too. Maybe we have a whole reuniting of the Elite one day. Hangman's in a weird place. He teamed with John Silver tonight to get a win over Butcher and the Blade. Nice to see John Silver on the winning end of a match. Johnny Hungy!
Well, it was Hangman who got the pin,
well,
but yeah.
But come on. Still, John Silver is usually losing matches, so it's nice that he won.
Well, that's it, too. Like, what are they doing with this Hangman Dark Order storyline? Is it ever going to be finished? Or just going to kind of always just be there? Hopefully something, because Hangman's not doing much. So hopefully they actually do something with this.
I like Hangman. Bob Burger's claiming that he's not AJ. Says he lives in the Lake Oswego area of Oregon, which doesn't seem like a place that AJ would know about to claim he's from. You know what I mean? Like, if AJ was trying to make up an alias, would he make up from somebody from Lake Oswego, Oregon? I don't think so. So maybe Bob's Burgers is a real person who really does just like AJ, which is odd to me. It's always odd to me that AJ has fans. Because to me, he is, you know, the worst.
It sounds like worldwide fans now, too.
I know. Out in Oregon, people actually like AJ. What is a Mongol motorcycle, though, Bob? Explain that to me, because I Googled that, and I have no idea what that is. Mongul motorcycle? What does that mean? Mongol. Is that a brand? I Googled it, and I found nothing, which made me suspicious that you were AJ. Like, oh, AJ misspells things. He doesn't really know how to spell things. Is his motorcycle misspelled? Does he not know? Is he making things up? But then the Lake Oswego, Oregon thing kind of threw me. But if you are making somebody up, you'd put him from someplace obscure. I don't know, John. What do you think? AJ or not AJ? Let's play a game. I'm starting to lean towards not AJ.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I think AJ has become popular and a lot of his sayings have kind of caught on, as you've seen what Doug just wrote.
I thought that was a Hulk Hogan saying. Let me tell you something, Dave. I thought that was a Hulk Hogan. Well, let me tell you something, brother.
Very much an AJ thing.
Does AJ say that a lot? I haven't even noticed. Let me tell you something. Okay, listen to this. He says that to me a lot. Listen to this. Okay.
But no, let me tell you something. He says that a lot to you and Fred.
You got
to
give it to him. AJ and I on our UFC parlays this weekend, pretty much in agreement. I don't know if you noticed that on the show last night.
Except one. Except
He threw an extra fight on that I didn't want to throw on my parlay because I didn't believe in it that much because Alexander Gustafsson is still... Yeah, that was the one fight. I think Krylov probably beats Gustafsson tomorrow afternoon, but if Gustafsson shows up, he could win this fight because he's Gustafsson. He's still very good, although he might be totally done. It's hard to tell. But we went with Paul Craig, Paddy Pimblett, Chris Curtis, and Tom Aspinall. That was my four-fight parlay, and AJ had the same thing, Craig, Pimblett, Curtis, Aspinall, and he threw on Nikita Krylov. So he made it a five fight. I made it a four fight. But still, we're picking the same wins. If my parlay wins, all AJ needs is another fight. If AJ's parlay wins, mine does too. Right? So that's pretty good. Usually we're in disagreement about a few of these fights, but we fully agree on all the winners tomorrow afternoon for the UFC, including Paul Craig, who is our underdog pick, our top underdog pick for tomorrow's action. Just checking out bet99.com. Sometimes we give the odds, we give our picks, and then I swear the line moves. The odds change. Craig is still an underdog plus 122, which is where he was last night, so it has not changed. Thank you. Let's make some money. We're going to make big money next weekend when we watch SummerSlam and UFC 277. Juliana Pena about to do it again versus Amanda Nunes next weekend, UFC 277. We're doing a watch-along for the UFC pay-per-view and a post-show recap for SummerSlam. Brandon Moreno taking on Kai Kara-France for the interim UFC flyweight championship. Derek Lewis versus Sergey Pavlovich. Magomed Ankalaev against Anthony Smith. Let's go. UFC 277 next weekend and SummerSlam on the same damn night. So I get two birds stoned at once. I get to do one weekend show. Solamente uno. Pero... Es posible. Super chat. Super chat. Un super chat. Otro episodio el domingo. ¿Comprende? Sí, es bueno. Did you understand that, John?
I'm just reading the super chat. Apparently, before you sign somewhere, oh, before you sign off, you have to do another Vince impersonation.
Uh-huh. What I said in Spanish there, I switched to Spanish. I don't know why. I said, but it's possible that we do another show on Sunday because it's the Ric Flair last thing, so it's possible. Pero es posible un otro episodio el domingo, hermano.
Wasn't there something about Death Before Dishonor? You wanted to say something about that? Or
Doug Hepburn wants me to give one more Vince impression before we sign off. Doug Hepburn is the new Super Chat leader of the night. Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Antoinette. Thank you, Lee J, for dropping Super Chats tonight. Death Before Dishonor. Can I review this pay-per-view as Vince McMahon?
Hey, if you want, sure. Vince will never touch it.
The world championship decided by Jonathan Gresham. What is he, 4'3"? Against Cesaro, what the fuck is this? This is their main event? It's ridiculous, pal.
Yeah, Vince would never do that, that's for sure. Yeah, of course.
You're like, how is this your main event? Jonathan Gresham. What's this guy, about 6'8"? World champion. Big guy? Nah, Vince, he's like 5'4". What? Yeah, he's a 5'4". He's a world champion? Ah, Triple H wants to keep hiring these Ring of Honor jabronis. I mean, he's a great wrestler. I have tons of respect for him. I'm just saying what Vince would say, you know? Like, who would you rather watch? Satnam Singh, who's like 8'2", or Jonathan Gresham, who's legit 5'4"? I'd rather watch Jonathan Gresham. He's excellent. Him and Claudio Castagnoli will be an excellent match for the Ring of Honor World Championship. I just don't want to pay for it.
Huh.
I don't care enough to pay. You know, I don't care enough about this match to want to throw money down and buy this pay-per-view tomorrow night. There's nothing on this card that makes me want to spend money. WWE, I have the network. It's a subscription. They already have my money. So, yeah, I'll watch their pay-per-view. They already have my money. If I'm not watching their pay-per-view, I feel like I'm getting screwed because they already have my money. UFC, I'm down to spend some money on UFC. It's quality product. Ring of Honor, you want me to spend how much? $30? $40? $50? I don't even know. What's this thing on? Fight TV? Yeah. Fight TV, how much is this shit?
It's probably $40.
$29.99 US.
Right, so it's close
it's
to
like
40.
Like $40. $40 for Cesaro versus Jonathan Gresham? I don't know, man. Samoa Joe versus Jay Lethal?
Super chat. Super That's pretty chat, good. Super
chat. I mean, have you not seen this match before?
Yeah, but it's been a while. I wouldn't mind seeing how it's going to be.
I mean, it's not going to be better than it was 10 years ago.
Man, well, it'll be different, so it'll be interesting to see what it'll be like.
You want to pay money for this thing? Going to your house.
Well, unfortunately, I'll be busy, but honestly, like, if I wasn't busy, I'd be interested. For me, FTR, Briscoe's, that's what sells it for me.
Doug Hepburn says there are ways without paying. Yeah, I know, but like, I don't know if this pay-per-view is popular enough that anybody's even going to illegal stream it. Because, like, not that many people buying it. Like a UFC pay-per-view, millions of buys. Yeah, there's going to be streamers. This stuff? I don't know. Antoinette dropping a super chat. She says, great show, guys. Good night. Thank you, Antoinette. Harold Schneider's dropping a super chat. Says, keep it up. We will. Thank you, Harold. Antoinette is now the new super chat leader. Just took it from Doug Hepburn. By a penny. By a penny.
Nice.
Wow. That's some real Angelo Contagonis style shit right there. Good for you, Antoinette. Good for you. Yeah, Briscoes and FTR should be good. But again, I mean, it's happened before. But this time it's a 2 out of 3 falls match. Like, if you like professional wrestling, this will be a good professional wrestling card, which is always what Ring of Honor does, right? They give you good in-ring content, high work rate. But not a lot of reason to tune in. Not a lot of story going into it to get you excited. No feuds.
It's a little unfortunate. No TV does that, you know, and like if you're not paying attention to every aspect of AEW TV, YouTube, you're going to miss some of it. I think there's actual dark matches or buy-in matches, right? I don't know what the matches are, but I know there are some, I think.
Allison Kay versus Willow Nightingale is the pre-show match.
Okay. That's it?
Yeah.
I feel like there's other matches on the show, no?
Yeah, you've got Wheeler Utah defending his Pure Wrestling Rules title against Daniel Garcia.
Right.
FTR against the Briscoes, 2 out of 3 falls match, should be excellent. Mercedes Martinez defending her Ring of Honor women's title against Serena Deeb. And
oh, that might be all right.
I mean, yeah, but do you care?
Serena Deeb, I check that out, yeah.
There's no build to any of this. What's the build to Cesaro and Jonathan Gresham?
Gresham is a bit of build to Serena because she was teaming with Martinez. And she, like, attacked her. I know you don't watch all the dark stuff, but I actually saw that, so.
Yeah, you gotta watch AEW Dark to know what's going on, right, on this Ring of Honor pay-per-view. Because exactly. That's what this is. Yeah. That's what this is. This is a C-level pay-per-view. It's not A-level. It's not even B-level. This is a C-level pay-per-view. I don't even know why it's happening. I mean, it's all nice, but, you know, I don't need to see it. I don't need... There's nothing on this pay-per-view I need to see. Nothing. Like, Jonathan Gresham and Claudio Castagnoli will be a good little wrestling match. Do you know how many good wrestling matches there are now? All the time, constantly happening? I can't see them all.
It's a weekly
and thing. You know what? I don't need to see them all. Because I'll see the next one. Because there's always a pretty damn good wrestling match happening somewhere. And will this match be better than the one I saw 3 weeks ago? Probably not. You know what I mean? Like, we're having these really good wrestling matches all the time. Guys are working really hard, but nothing really means anything. What did Christian say? Have a good match. Have a classic match that people are still talking about in 20 years. Try having one of those. You're having 5-star matches every week. It doesn't mean anything. People forget it the next time they see you. Try having a match that people remember. You know?
Yeah. No, you're right about that. Well, Christian was right about that. This is true.
I mean, Hogan and Andre was not a match. Like, Jonathan Gresham versus Claudio Castagnoli will be a better match in the ring than Hogan and Andre. I have no doubt about that.
Of course.
Like, as far as right. The work rate and all that bullshit that doesn't actually matter. Yes. But Hogan and Andre was in 1988?
I want to say 88.
Yeah, 88. 87, maybe?
Maybe it was 87, you're right.
It's a long fucking time ago. And people are still talking about it. Are they talking about it because of the work rate? Because Meltzer gave it 7 stars? Or because of the goddamn story and the pageantry of the whole thing? Andre had been slammed before. Hogan had slammed Andre before. but not in front of 90 or 70 or 80,000 people at WrestleMania 3 in front of the world. When it mattered, when the story built in was perfect. And people still remember. And that's what pro wrestling is. This Ring of Honor stuff is a version of pro wrestling, but it will never cross over to the masses or make big money. And that's why I'm not buying the pay-per-view. Because there's nothing that's grabbing my attention. So that's why they're not getting my dollars. And that's why they're not going to get a lot of dollars. And that's why they're not going to make big money. Because there's no interest. I know the wrestling's good. I know that the wrestlers are good. But when I'm seeing so much wrestling and it's free, do I need to pay to see it here? I don't. Will you?
I might get the replay. I'm not sure yet. But I was surprised with how well they did at the last pay-per-view. Buy rate was pretty good for just the random pay-per-view that they had like that. Like, the fact that they were able to get a decent buy rate. They can do that again here. That's going to help ROH.
What's decent? 100,000?
Well, the fact, well, I got a bit more than over 100,000, I think.
That's pretty good.
But that's actually, yeah, it's pretty good for something that's like no TV really, just kind of out of nowhere pay per view. That's, you know, like it might be mainly a loyal fan base, but that's a pretty strong loyal fan base though. So, I mean, if they can pull that off again, I'm not sure if they can or not, but if they keep doing that,
be tough.
That's probably going to help. It's going to help them, though, in terms of getting a TV deal, because it'll show that people want to see this. There's a market for it.
I'm surprised that there is, because I figure I'd be the market for it, and I'm not interested at all. You know? I'm watching all the wrestling. I like wrestling. But I just can't do it anymore with all this stuff. It's too much. And this Ring of Honor, it's like, it's not a promotion. It's not a real promotion. It's a thing that exists in the shadows on AEW Dark. And then once in a while, they get together and do a little pay-per-view that nobody watches. You know? If it was a real promotion, maybe I'd care. If they had real stars on this show, maybe I'd care. There's not a single bona fide star on this show. Not one. We have a lot of really good talent, but not a single star. No Punk, no Bryan, no stars. I love Claudio Castagnoli, but the longer he's in AEW doing this middling bullshit, the more he just feels like Cesaro. And that's not great.
Well, if the plan is for him to be the face of ROH, still better than what he was doing in WWE, because if he's going to be the head of the pay-per-views. And
is it?
They get a TV thing going?
He could be the face of ROH without ever going back, going to the WWE. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where he started out. Is that good for you if you do all this stuff and then you're just right back where you started in the end?
Yeah, but it's not the same ROH, though.
No, it doesn't have a TV deal, and it's basically not a company. You're the champion right of now, AEW yeah. Dark. Good for you. You went from being a WWE superstar, wrestling Roman Reigns on pay-per-view, and now you're AEW Dark champion. Nice. Whack. But hey, it's what he wanted. He's got the freedom, creative freedom. So good.
Well, to be fair, I mean, you saw his run in WWE. I was going, yes, he got the shot against Roman Reigns. What did he do after that? Not much of anything. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't he like losing all the time?
Yeah.
Again?
Would you rather lose on WWE TV or be the champion of AEW Dark?
Thing is, like, he's been there, what, it was over 10 years? Like, I mean, it's not a bad deal, but after a while, you kind of want to change it up a bit. And, you know, at this point, he's only got a couple of years left probably where he can really challenge himself at peak, like, level wrestling. So now is the time. So I get why he did it. He's got the money. Now he just wants the experiences.
Well, good for him. He'll get the experiences. I'm sure wrestling Jonathan Gresham is going to be a lot of fun. Talented guy. The match will be good. You know, I don't doubt the match will be good. I just don't know if I'll actually see it. People talking about tickets? I saw something. Somebody came in and started talking about Bruce Springsteen tickets. I don't know why we're talking about that. And then Guns N' Roses tickets were being talked about in the chat. I don't know what's happening or what you guys are talking about.
It's past midnight. It happens.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not interested in... I'll tell you something. Guns N' Roses, I'm not really a fan of. I think they're fine, though. I'm not, like, a fan. I think it's... You know, whatever. I've heard a few of their songs, and they're all right. But I'm not going to go out of my way to listen to them. I don't really like that type of music. But Bruce Springsteen, I actively dislike. I don't like anything. I don't know. I just don't like any of his shit. Everything I've ever... Like, I've heard a Guns N' Roses song, you know, Sweet Child of Mine or whatever. And it's like, yeah, all right. It's all right. But every time I hear a Bruce Springsteen song, I'm like, what is this shit? Fucking don't like this. I don't know. I don't like Bruce Springsteen. Like, I'm not a fan of Guns N' Roses, but I really don't like Bruce Springsteen. It's a weird thing. I hear him and I'm like, he's like, in a river. And it's like, shut the fuck up, man. I'm not interested. I don't know. All his songs seem like whack to me and his fucking old singing attitude. I know people like worship Bruce Springsteen. People love that guy. You know, he's very famous, he's got a fan base, he's pretty big, but I think he totally sucks. I don't know. You like Bruce Springsteen's music, John? You ever going to listen to just like, if you're going to like, you know, put on some music, you're going to vibe out to some tunes, you're going to put on some Bruce Springsteen ever? I would never.
But like, it's not my cup of tea, but I do understand that, like, for a lot of people, I'm pretty sure AJ would probably completely disagree with you, like, because I'm pretty sure he's probably a huge Bruce Springsteen fan.
Probably.
Like, he has a very strong fan base, a huge fan base, so, like, I can acknowledge that.
I have acknowledged him. I acknowledge him. I got no problem with, his fans or whatever. I just don't think, I don't get it. You know, like, you know, he's got a huge fan base of people talk, oh, he's so cool, and he's so, and like, every time I've seen him or heard him, I've been like, what? I don't, every shit he does sounds exactly the same to me. I don't get it. PFC, people are talking about how they don't like Bruce Springsteen now. See, I'm right. Springsteen is garbage. Give me Kanye any day over Springsteen. I'd much rather see Kanye... Or, you know, I was going to say Drake. I'd rather see Drake over Bruce Springsteen, obviously. I'd rather see anybody over Bruce Springsteen. Last concert I went to was Action Bronson. Bronson destroys Bruce Springsteen. Bronson is the man. That shit was awesome. And it didn't cost $4,000 to see Action Bronson. It cost like... $60 or something. It's pretty good. It's a good deal. Bronzolino. You know, Bam Bam Baklava. Shit was awesome. Love that guy.
Fucking you didn't posed. See Celine again, though.
Oh, no, I've seen Celine before. I'd much rather see Celine Dion than fucking Bruce Springsteen. Celine is fucking talented, man. That voice is amazing. Amazing. Yo, you see Celine singing live in person? She's fucking belting out those songs. She's singing for real. She's got a fucking voice, man. Celine is no joke. Don't fuck with Celine, bro. Céline is a goddamn hero to our people. Canadians, Quebec people. She is a hero for us all. Don't fuck with Céline, all right? Don't ever fuck with Céline. We all love Céline. Céline is the best. I know people like to take shots and shit, but she's a real talent. I don't give a fuck. Way better than that Bruce Springsteen. I'll tell you that much. Céline, way better than Springsteen.
There you go. Right. Someone likes him.
No, they're saying John Cougar is better.
Oh.
The similar style, those two guys, you know? I'm not a big fan of either guy. I like... Well, all the guys I like are dead. You can't really see those guys. All the old, you know? I like George Jones. I like Waylon Jennings. You know? The people I like that are alive are pretty much all rappers. Jay-Z, Kanye, Bronson, and many others we could talk about. But we won't because the show is over. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Appreciate you. Shout out to Antoinette. You are the Super Chat leader tonight. Transam says his fart is better than Bruce. I heard a rhinoceros fart today. It was amazing. It was so loud. But honestly, I feel like I've heard louder human farts, but maybe not. How could that be, right? How could that be? But it was a rhino, unmistakably. It was the rhino farting. Amazing. Crazy. You never seen that shit in your life.
I imagine the smell must have been
I wasn't awful. That close to get a smell. I couldn't really get a smell. Oh. Just the sound of it. Powerful fart from a rhino. A rhinoceros, John. As we know, AJ has taught us that's how you pronounce it. Not rhinoceros. AJ pronounces it rhinoceros. You know? Yeah, Outlaws, Trans Am. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Waylon. Willie. Hope Willie Nelson's doing all right. If Willie came to town, I'd go see Willie. I'd pay whatever for Willie Nelson. You want to talk about a great fucking American artist? Fuck Bruce Springsteen. Give me Willie Nelson all day. Oh, man. I never heard a Willie Nelson song I didn't like. I love Willie Nelson.
Not big in the Kid Rock, though, which is the SummerSlam theme, I believe. I think it's a new Kid Rock song.
Who doesn't like Kid Rock, man? Ba with the ba ba dang ba dang ba da ba da ba ba da ba da. Come on, tremendous.
Well, you're Mr. Anti-Trump supporters, and he's a huge Trump supporter, so.
Oh, some of my best friends are Trump supporters, like AJ.
Okay.
I don't dislike you because you're a Trump supporter. I still love Chris Jericho. I just think it's hilarious that he's like a guy who now, like, I just think it's weird for anybody to give money to politicians, Trump or otherwise, honestly. If Jericho gave a bunch of money to Joe Biden, I'd be like, oh, what the fuck? Why? It just seems odd to do. You ever given money to a politician?
I haven't, but I know people that do. You know, they just support that political cause, so.
I don't see why.
Campaign.
I've never trusted a political party enough to give them my money. I barely trust any of them to give them my vote. Fucking guys. All right. Ba with the ba ba dang ba dang diggy diggy. My name is Kid. Tremendous. You love that shit, John. Cowboy. What's a Donald Cerrone fight without a little Kid Rock? You know what I'm saying? Trump 2024.
They don't exist anymore.
I mean, maybe. Maybe Trump 2024. It's possible. Anything's possible, man. Trump will be mad old, though, in 2024, won't he? Like, Trump is pretty old, isn't he?
Well, he's still younger than Biden, though, isn't he?
Yeah, now. But does Biden run in 2024? He seems kind of old to do it, too. I've heard that he won't. 2024 is like 2 years away. Trump is 76 now. He'd be 78 years old. That means when he'd be done being president, he'd be 82. If he runs in 2024 and wins, that's 4 years, and 2028, he's 82. I don't know. Do you want an 82-year-old Donald Trump with access to nuclear weapons? Leading any country, really. Do you want an 81-year-old Donald Trump with access to nuclear weapons? With his finger on the button, or near the button, or with access to the button. Like, I don't know. Doesn't seem safe. Seems a little wonky. Trump is kind of a weird guy, you know? He's kind of a bombastic character who seems kind of impulsive. Do you trust him at 81 years old? To be the president leading your country? I don't know. It seems kind of like maybe find a better option than that. There's got to be a better option than 80-something-year-old Donald Trump. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to shit on Trump or Biden. I just feel like, goddamn, there's got to be a better option than these fucking old dudes. I don't know how many, like, really old dudes you've encountered, but, like, you know, like, I think maybe somebody 20 to 30 years younger might help. Just to, you know, it might be of, they might remember more shit. The older you get, the less you remember, and, you know, your cognitive abilities kind of start to... I don't know. Like, Trump supporters are like, yeah, we need him in 2024. I'm like, yeah, but you know how old he's going to be? And, like, already he's kind of shaky, right? Like, even if you love him. And I was a big Apprentice fan. I thought he was great. As a president, I thought, really? I don't know. It seems crazy. But I just think, is there no better option? And then apparently not, because then they go with Joe Biden. You know what I mean? Bob Burgers, are you 80 right. years old, though? And if you are 80 years old, Bob Burgers, you shouldn't be president. That's how I feel. It's like, eh. But then again, all these people that are real mad about all these 80-year-olds running the world, I say just give them 10 years, and they won't run the world anymore. Because they'll probably be dead, is what I'm saying. Because usually people don't tend to live to 100. Although they get close. But usually the oldest of our olds tend to die at least in their 90s, right? Sometimes people make it to 100 and a little past that. It happens. But it's rare, I think. I feel like the oldest of our olds get into their 90s and then it's a wrap. I can't imagine I'm going to make it to my 90s, but I'm, you know, I aspire to be old. I don't want to put a number on it, but not
well, it really
depends. Yeah.
Depends on how many more kids you're going to have.
Bob's not an old guy. He's in his 60s. That's yeah. Bob could be president. Like a 60-year-old guy is still, you know, good. But when you start to hit like 80, 85, like you start to hit your 80s, I think it starts to kind of fade. You're in the home stretch. Maybe take it easy and don't run for president. Like Vince is 77 right now, retiring.
Right. Right.
Seems about right. You know?
But he's being forced, though.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the thing with these guys. They don't know when to go. Like, Trump is not being forced.
And the thing is, too, with the Republican
Although
Party,
he could
is
be,
a
I don't know.
Candidate?
Yeah, don't
I mean,
they have somebody better?
Candidate.
Don't they have somebody better? You would think America had better options, but then they go to, like, they're like, oh, Hillary Clinton's going to be our president. I was like, And then they're like, okay, not Hillary, Donald Trump. And I'm like, And then they're like, okay, okay, not Trump anymore. Joe Biden. I'm like, huh? Like, what's next? Honestly, just elect Michael Jordan president because everybody likes Michael Jordan. He's cool. I don't know what his policies are on anything because he kept it that way. And it was very smart. He says, you know, Republicans buy sneakers too, so kept his shit real neutral. So make him the president. You don't know what he thinks, but you know he was really good at basketball. Every kid in America get a pair of Jordans. I'm just spitballing. Just throwing out ideas.
Well, it'd be great if The Rock actually does run. That would be fun. But who knows if that'll ever happen.
Dana White. Cody Rhodes. There are a number of excellent options in the fighting and WWE
world.
I don't
feel Cody Rhodes would be an excellent option whatsoever.
What?
I like Cody, but as president of the United States, I don't know if that's a good idea.
Adrenaline, MSL, Cody Rhodes as president. See? It's in the song already. It's got a nice ring to it.
I'm sure Cody would try to sell himself off as that very much so, but I don't think it would work out very well. He's a good politician in wrestling, but not so much, I think, in the actual political scene. Lack of experience, I think, would hurt him.
Well, The Rock, then, I guess. The Rock.
That's it.
Or Dana White. Or Vince McMahon. He's not doing anything now.
Well, he's too old, but yeah, okay.
Well, no, he's not too old, John. He's clearly not too old. He's the same age as the current president, I think.
Right? Right, but he hasn't really done anything yet, though. That's the thing.
Is he younger?
I mean,
he's younger than the current president by like 2 years.
Wow.
Joe Biden's 79? He's turning 80 this year. Holy shit. And he's still got 2 more years?
And then maybe he'll run again. Wow.
This is what gets me. Like, people made fun of him for falling off that bike. Let's say you even ride a bike at 79 years old. You know what I'm saying? No shit, he fell off a bike. He's 79. Let's say you try to ride a bike at 79. You fucking wouldn't be able to sit on the seat. Try sitting on one of those bike seats now. It's not that comfortable. Imagine when you're 79 how that's going to feel. People are making fun of Joe Biden falling off the bike. This motherfucker is still on a bike. He's going to be 80 this year. He's riding a bike. Give him credit. I mean, he seems a little wonky in the head sometimes. Like, I don't know. But shit, man. People giving him shit for falling off that bike. Guy's 79. At least he's riding a bike. He was riding it before he fell off, right? You saw him pedaling and shit. Seems to be able to ride a bike. That's pretty good. Yeah, will he make it to full term? I mean, shit, 80 years old? He's got 2 more years as president? He better not run again. He'd be fucked. Yeah, I am a reasonable person, Doug. I'm very reasonable. I'm very kind of even-keeled. Like, I'm just logical. I'm not trying to, like, I don't get swayed by a lot of big talk or political feelings. I think of things in a logical manner. And that's, you know, sometimes it's right, sometimes it's left. It's just always, you know, what makes sense. Some logical shit. Because a lot of people are swayed by their beliefs. I'm not swayed by shit that I believe. I'm swayed by shit that I know. A lot of people don't know shit. They just want to believe things. Well, I believe that, well, if you're fucking believing things, you don't actually know anything. I choose to know and only believe when I know for sure. That's it. John, I love you. You're the best. I know that you are the best. That is a fact. And I believe it. All right.
Oh, that's true. Biden has COVID now too. So yeah, it's been a rough time for Biden.
He'll be fine. He's got like 4 vaccines in him, and they're pumping him full of drugs, right? They got the good president drugs that they can give to him. He'll be fine. COVID, I think, will be fine for him.
Well, I mean, he's in that rough age bracket for it. Like,
that's true, yeah. That's anything at this point. A strong wind could take him out. Anyhow.
Wait and see.
That's it. Are people going to see you in the ring soon? Tell me.
Let's hope at some point next month. That's what we're hoping for. Fingers crossed for next month.
There's nothing tomorrow you want to talk to me about? Nothing.
You mean later today, please? I mean, there's just for the last festival, there's going to be a show. Will I be there? Possibly. Will I not be there? Possibly as well. It's hit or miss. We'll have to wait and see what happens later today. Just for laughs.
Oh, big jokes. Big jokes coming up. Okay, so we will get more updates on that in the weeks to come. I will be back Thursday night with Freddie and AJ for Ringside Report MMA. We'll be previewing UFC 277. And then Johnny and I next Friday will be previewing SummerSlam, right? The slam of the summer. Summerfest. Finally. Next Friday night here on the Ringside Report Network. Yankees won tonight 7-6. Aaron Judge hit like a 450-footer. Big-time home run. Monster blast. 456, I think it was. Crazy.
Cool.
It just ran out of the ballpark like, nope. Ouch. Imagine being a ball getting hit by Aaron Judge. That's just got to hurt. All right, guys. El Contador, we love you. Follow him at North Genesis. Follow me at Dave Simon MMA. Go to ringsidereport.net. It's our website. Enjoy it. All our stuff is there. Ringsidereport.net. Download the podcast. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel. Do the things. And go with Team Dave tomorrow afternoon for UFC London. And that's it. Thank you to everybody tuning in. Antoinette, you're the Super Chat leader right here on the Ringside Report Network.
Please join in and give your support to Ringside Report Network. We've been providing expert coverage and commentary on both pro wrestling and MMA for over 15 years. Go to ringsidereport.net/support to find out more ways to support the channel.